Before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to my patrons on Patreon, especially Juno, Justdeep, and Julianne. If you want to support this podcast, become my patron on patreon.com/queerchicanochisme, and let's start the show.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. I am your host, Ruben, but you might know me as Queer Chicano Chisme.
And this is Cassandra, the lovely Cassandra.
Ooh.
Aye, just kidding. This is Cassandra. You might know me as Chicanisma underscore online. Underscore. Underscore.
Oh, and that's just Instagram, no?
That is Instagram. That is Facebook is just Chicanisma, but you all know who we are.
Wow. They don't, what if it's like the first time they're like tuning in? They're like, who are these bitches? Like, I don't know them.
True. Welcome if that is you.
Welcome to another episode. Where have our lives been since last time? Last time we talked, I am in California. But I mean LA, visiting my family for the holiday. Probably when you hear this, I'll be back in LA visiting my family for a holiday. And we were interviewing Jessica. And now I'm back in Oakland where it's cold and my house has no insulation, and so I'm dying.
You're dying right now. You have a little blanket on. It's so cute. You need an electric blanket. No, you do. Once you get one, you will never need a man ever again, I'm telling you.
I don't need a man. Unless, like,
that's true.
Unlike you Sagittarius bitches.
Wow. No, that's Scorpio. That's my Scorpio side. Don't drive me like that. My Sagittarius is like, nah, get the fuck out of here. But speaking of that, it is Sagittarius season. It's about to come to an end.
Thank God.
But wow.
People's really passive aggressiveness is, I was gonna say it's gonna like subside, but it's gonna take off as Capricorn season. Right.
Yeah, we're all just going to sleep through it because they're fucking boring as fuck.
What?
But we're going to skip right through it. But yeah, I think the last time we recorded was Scorpio season, and then Sagittarius season started, and then it was my birthday, and I've had a great season. I think the retrograde kind of, like, when it, you know, it has been a little wild. I'm not going to lie. A lot of tense shit. But overall, the beginning of it, at least, before the retrograde, was really fun. My birthday was really fun. And so I've been thriving, yeah. And I also think it's not only because it was my birthday and my season, but also because I think it's, like, the end of the year. And so I feel like towards the end of the year, everyone starts to, like, just not give a shit anymore. Like, especially if you had a shitty year or, like, your life's just shit. Towards the end of the year, you're like, fuck it. I'm just gonna party. Maybe that's just me all the time. But it's like more, even more so during my season. So I had a good time. Good times with my friends. And my friends threw me a surprise birthday party.
Aww.
So that was really exciting and fun.
I saw the cake. It was like so you.
Yeah. I got two cakes. Three, actually.
I
was really loved. I know.
Wow. And your bitch ass began the day like, nobody remembers my birthday.
No, that's how I felt. Like, on the actual day of my birthday, like, it was a Thursday. So it's like, everyone's at work.
Uh-huh.
And my mom didn't even say happy birthday to me until the end of the day. Like, she called me. She's like, oh, I forgot. Even though I had seen her all day. And so I was like, wow, okay. So it did feel like that. But then it got better towards like the evening, you know. My friend bought me a cake, the office one, and then we went out to drink. It was just fun, like the whole weekend. So I had a lot of fun. But how has Sagittarius season been for you, Aquarius?
You know, it has been okay. I've You know, just been like reconsidering my life a lot.
At 3 in the morning, drunk.
Oh, yeah. Wait, have I texted you?
That's just what I predicted for everybody during this season.
I mean, yes, but like, what's new? No, like, I made a lot of decisions, and now I'm just, like, waiting to act on them. And then the retrograde, like...
The first thing I did on the retrograde was cut my fucking bangs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, don't do it, it's retrograde. Because I tried new bangs, even though I know you're probably laughing, you're like, they look the same, bitch. But I did try, like, a different new bangs, and my hairstylist like, yeah, let's do this. And in my head, I was like, don't do it, you're going to hate it. Don't do it right now. But I was like, yeah... And then I hate it, and I can't go back now, but that's okay.
Because you look like Dora the Explorer again, because you have the old school Chicana bangs.
Okay.
Aw, little Dora.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom's like,
I know, that reminds me, like, every time I would fight people on Twitter, like, racist people, that's the first thing they would say to me, and I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know, like, that was, like, a comeback for them, and all, but also, one time on Tumblr, someone left me, like, an anonymous message or whatever they're called, an anon, whatever. It was, like, I wish I could pull it up right now, but it's, like, deep in my phone. But it was, like, you're so hot or something. Will you be my Dora? Or, like, something. It just sounded like a white guy had said it. And I was, like, please block. Don't ever fucking message me again.
And, like, a part of it is, like, yes, is it racist, or do you actually look like a grown-up Dora the Explorer, right?
Okay, or both, right?
Yeah, why not both?
I want to play her in the live-action film.
You should fucking do it. Call that one dude. Was it Brett something? Who's directing
the it the guy that did the Transformers?
Yeah, Michael Bay.
His name is. Yeah, I'll call him.
You can be like the...
I'll email him.
You can be like a Chicana... What's her name? Megan Fox.
You can be the little thing.
The monkey? Bitch, there's a whole ass Diego in there!
Oh, Diego!
Wow!
No!
Wow!
I thought Diego and Dora were like two separate shows.
No, they are one!
He has a separate show too, though.
But he began as like her cousin, and then
okay, you can be my cousin. Diego.
Wow, thanks.
Boots, that's his name.
Thanks for upgrading me from Boots.
No, Luke, my son will be Boots. Okay, and you can be Diego.
Yeah.
There we go. Figured it out.
It. And then we'll have our little map of Aslan to guide us.
They're like, you cannot come in. Take your ass back.
Okay, so like, wow.
Oh, but one of the first things that I did do during Sagittarius season was go see Coco.
I pirated
that. Was like something everyone was talking about. I don't know if people are still talking about it or if they're over it because everyone saw it already.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, we're probably gonna spoil it. I don't know, maybe not even spoil it, but just a heads up.
Yeah, we're not gonna spoil it, we're just gonna like critique it, and like that's gonna give off details, right? But like the plot.
So you've seen it, right?
Yeah, def. Okay. I pirated it.
Did you really? Because I didn't. It was random. Like I was like, I hadn't even seen like the trailer. I haven't really paid attention to it. Like I knew it was, they were making it, but I didn't really like, I wasn't following it, and so I guess the weekend it was released, or that it opened, a lot of people on my personal Facebook were, like, talking about it, and then I was just randomly like, oh, I don't know, like, I wasn't, like, planning on it, but I was like, oh, like, there's nothing to do, like, I want to see that movie, and even if I felt like, in my head, I was like, I'm gonna hate this shit, but I still want to see it, because I want to, like, critique it and be able to like understand what other people are saying about it, because I knew everyone was gonna like write think pieces about it or comment on it, etc. So I did end up, that's why I went to go see it.
Yeah, I also felt like, you know, to be like, I saw it basically like for the culture, you know, like, because I thought that like the hella bitches were gonna like write like, you know, insightful think pieces about it, but like TBH, everyone was just like, oh, wow, Disney gave us representation, TM, right? Because we're so fucking desperate for it.
Yeah.
So, I was, like, disappointed in the fact that, like, I only saw, like, two good think pieces come out of the whole thing. Everything else was, like, Latinx critics weren't allowed to publish a critique about it. And I was, like, okay. What? Yeah. That was, like, basically, like, because, yeah, there was, like, that was the only critique I saw. And it wasn't even about the movie itself. It was about the fucking, like, the way the media handled Coco, which I think that, like, Western media, like, you know, I don't think they handled it horribly. I think that they were all actually too nice to it. And that's because,
and that's probably because they don't even know how to write about it.
Yeah.
Or critique it, or in a, like, critical, genuine way, because there haven't been movies, like, you know what I mean, that are, like, not centered around white people or whatever, you know? And yeah. I feel like also, if some white person would have wrote something about it, it's also like, why the fuck are you writing about that?
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? It's also a lot of factors of, like, who should be able to write about that? And if that person is writing about it, are they doing it half-ass? Yeah. Or are they actually trying to be critical about it? So,
yeah. So, like, the reviews I saw from, like, the whites, and actually all the Latinxes, like, the mainstream media Latinxes that I saw was, like, Coco is beautiful to, like, to the eye, and, like, you know, finally Pixar does the diversity thing, and I'm like, okay, yeah, so they gave us a fucking movie, but, like, what were they saying in this movie, right? And so I saw it too, but for personal reasons, and I guess we can talk about those later, I didn't go to see it in the theater, right?
Didn't see it in the theater?
No.
Wow, I thought you did it for the culture, though, bitch.
Wow, the culture can hear my opinions about it.
We're not gonna hear it. We're not gonna hear it. Unless you went to the fucking theater and sat through the fucking Frozen short, your opinion does not matter.
Wow! Oh, yeah, okay, so I heard about that, too. I heard y'all bitches had to sit through a whole ass, like, half hour of Anglo-Saxon history.
I was seriously sitting there. You should have seen my face. I was like, what the fuck is this? I was so fucking pissed, and I really did feel oppressed. Like, I was, like, so mad. And everyone around me was, like, also, like, just, what the fuck is happening? Everyone was like, Yahweh. Like, at the screen, it was, like, I was honestly so mad, but it was some fucking bullshit. And I was like, well, luckily you didn't see that fucking Olaf's Great Adventure. But it was pretty much centered around how white people don't have fucking traditions, and they went around stealing other people's traditions.
What? So I thought it was about the snowman and something.
Yeah. So, like, the whole thing is, like, the two princesses, whatever their names are, like, they're living in the castle, and they're like,
Anna and Elsa. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck. Yeah. Elsa did not fucking, like, go through, like, so much hardship for you to just dismiss her like that.
Wow. Did she, though? Taylor Swift? Was it? She went through so much.
Wow. She, like, Let It Snow or whatever the name of her song. Let It Go.
She was so oppressed and frozen. Anyway, so they're like, you know, they're, like, happy now living in the castle, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then it's, like, Christmas, and they're like, oh, let's invite all the people of the town to come celebrate with us. And they're like, nah, we got our own shit. Like, bye. We have our own traditions. Like, you stay in your fucking castle. And then the sisters were like, wow, we don't have any traditions. Like, the poor people. Like, what the fuck is this? Shut the fuck up. Why don't we have traditions? Like, all sad. And so, like, the snowman's like, I'm gonna go and find some for you. AKA, like, go fucking steal everybody else's and bring them to you. So he literally went around the whole town asking people, like, what are your traditions? And then he would, like, take them, like, to go be like, here, pick some of the traditions from the poor people that you guys can co-opt. That was pretty much, like, the basis of the fucking short film. And I just thought it was so funny that that's what they chose to put in front of Coco. Like, it was just, like, the whole thing. And then, come on, Frozen, as it is so fucking white. Just, like, the actual colors that they choose is so white on top of that I was just like, get me the fuck out of here.
Wow, well, now that you mention it, yeah, like, Frozen uses, like, a really cool, like, color palette. And, of course, that was intentional.
Yeah, because a white supremacist color palette. Wow! So there you go. That's what that is.
Wow, so, like, snow and winter is white supremacist. Got it.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. It's like the snow is, like, getting rid of, like, the brown, like, the dirt. And, you know? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God!
Like, This is like some deep Chicano shit I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah, wow.
I'm like Gustavo Arellano right now.
Yeah, I was about to say, he really went to like the Arellano's class and like the Aslan school for school greater.
Of thought. Yeah. School of thought. Yeah. Made me who I am today. Yeah. And you too can be this critical.
If yeah, you no, for real. It's like snow whiteness covers like the brownness of the fall. Brownness. And it summer. Us. It really yes. does. Wow.
But thank once you. It melts, Aztlan will
rise again.
It will rise again. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's what happened. So that's what you missed. But that's what happened. But
so
anyway,
I'm so
let's talk about Coco though.
Yeah, no, this is why I'm glad I didn't go to the fucking theater, right? Because like I missed that whole thing. I got to see it from the comfort of my bed. With a bag of hot Cheetos, just kidding, Takis, because I'm not whack. With a bag of Takis, and just, like, chilled and saw it in Spanish. And, you know, like, it was a cute movie. There was nothing surprising to me. Like, there was nothing that was like, oh my god, this is great writing, right? Because, like, as a writer, someone who's, like, done fiction and things like that, like, I look for, like, those things in movies, right? And nothing surprised me. I predicted. I was, like, also live-tweeting. Mm-hmm. I was, like,
live-tweeting. Wow, you were live-tweeting.
Yeah. Dude. Well, I was like, spoiler. I was, like, telling people that I was spoiling it. And, like I predicted, like, the big reveal, right? That, like, the, you know.
Me too. I was, like, well, kind of. Well, see, I can't even talk about it because some people might not have seen it yet.
Okay, so big spoiler, like, huge ahead, spoiler. Huge spoiler. The rich famous dude ends up not being the little kid's great grandfather or whatever. It ends up being the desgraciado little skeleton thing. What? I don't know.
Isn't that Gael Garcia?
I don't know. Girl, I saw it in Spanish. It wasn't Gael Garcia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was. I think the it was real like a, grandpa. That's yeah. Gael Garcia's voice.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. In Spanish, I think it was, like, Derbez or somebody.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I'm, like, looking it up right now, I swear.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Gael Garcia was the murderer grandpa.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And, oh, spoiler. And then I have... spoiler alert. And also, oh, okay, so the, let's see. No, wait. No. Okay, no. Gael Garcia was the
real
the
bitch.
Skeleton grandpa. Hector. Okay. The real grandpa.
That I was don't Gael remember. Garcia. Yeah, okay.
But also, here's another Aztlan critique in case you all missed it because you're not as Chicana as I am. Benjamin Pratt was the murderer grandpa.
Okay.
And I just find it funny that the Chicano had to be the murderer grandpa. Because, you know, Mexicans hate Chicanos.
Wow. You mean... I'm so confused. Wait. Oh! Because Gael is actually from Mexico. I get it. Yeah,
and he was the hero. And they're like, nah, fuck this. The Chicano's gonna be the fucking whack-ass fucking murderer. When they're throwing tomatoes on him. Okay, let me stop.
No, it's cool.
Too much spoilers right now.
No, I forget like everyone... who Gael's too, because I was confused. It was Diego Luna. And I'm just like, is that the light skin?
He's, or yeah, like... the shorter one.
Yeah, no, but Gael is still brown, no? Unlike Diego.
No, he's pretty white. Diego, I feel like they're the same color.
Are they? Gael just has a really good tanning bed.
Nationality, though.
Yeah. Okay,
but anyway, I'm just joking, guys, because I feel like people are really going to be like, wow. Like, Cassandra really said, like, that they made Benjamin Pratt the, like, evil guy, because he's Chicano. Okay, no. Anyway, enough with the jokes. I liked Coco. I thought I was going to hate it. Like, I didn't even know what I was going to think about the movie, especially after sitting through that fucking Frozen shit. But I was really relieved when Coco came on. so I was in good spirits when it came on because of the Frozen shit. But I really did. I thought it was a beautiful movie. I really did. And I wish, like, I cried at the end.
Of course.
Like, as a movie overall, like, I enjoyed it. And I think it's a really cute movie. And I hope to watch it with my son one day when he understands it. Because right now, like, he probably would have just been running around the whole theater if I would have taken him anyway.
Yeah.
But then, like, obviously that's just, like, as a without thinking of any critical, political, anything, right? That's just, like, as a movie for me, like,
yeah.
I was like, I love this movie. It's super cute. But then, obviously, when you start thinking about, like, oh, what did this mean? And why did they put this in here? And, like, you actually start thinking about critically, then, yeah, we can point out some shit.
Yeah, no, for me, I guess I wasn't looking at it with a critical eye. And so the only thing I looked for was, like, the script, right? And, like, the writing and like, the, you know, the cinematography and, like, those qualities of it. And so I came out of it being like, okay, you know, this was underwhelming. It wasn't bad. It was just underwhelming. But overall, like, a solid movie. And it wasn't until I, like, got online that I actually read, like, the real critiques, right? And so one of the big ones for me that you brought up, too, was that, like, one of the big plot points for Coco was that, like, it revolved around, like, border patrol, right? And, like, immigration in like, in a metaphoric mm-hmm. way, right? So there was definitely, like, a border between, like, limbo and, like, you know, the world of the dead, or, like, you know, the celebration of Día de los Muertos, right?
Yeah, and I think that, after, like, we left the theater, I went to go see it with Jose. That was, like, one of the first things I feel like that we talked about was, like, the border. And I think when I went online, that was, like, what a lot of people were talking about most, about, like, that they actually had, like, the concept of borders in the movie, right? And also in a very, like, there was still border patrol and, like, only certain people were allowed to cross the border and, like, that narrative. And I think that when I saw, like, the border, I didn't, it's weird because I didn't think it was, like, weird, or I wasn't like, what the fuck is this? Why is there a border? Like, it just seemed really like, of course they would have a border. And then when I thought about it later, when we were talking about it, I was like, it's really fucked up that was, like, the first thing, like, of course they would have a border, because that is, like, a real life, especially, you know, I live right at the border. So, like, I see it every day. And so seeing it in a movie wasn't weird for me, because that's just, like, the reality that I've always lived in, like, being able to see, like, the border and crossing back and forth. And so, like, that wasn't weird for me when I saw it. But then when I think about other people seeing that border, and, like, people who are undocumented and people who have suffered going, or, like, still are traumatized or have experienced, you know what I mean, negative things or positive things, like, it's fucked up that even in a movie that's, like, fictional, and not only fictional, but in, like, the plot of the movies, that even at in death, like, we still are subjected to, like, borders and, like, border patrol. And so, like, that's kind of fucked up when you look at it that way. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that's what I read. You know, that's one of the critiques I read, is that, and that, like, really made me hyper aware of, like, my citizen, like, privilege, right? That, like, I can go to a movie and not think about the ways in which my trauma is being used for profit. Mm-hmm. And so the ways in which this, like, border that they had between, like, the, you know, this grand, you know, area for the dead, you know, and how it triggered, I read some things about how, like, it was really, it brought up trauma for some people, mm-hmm. right, around the border, right? And also, like, I think folks mentioned, like, who's allowed into heaven, right, into the afterlife, mm-hmm. and it's, like, rich folks, right, and mm-hmm. it's just, like, folks that have privilege in life, right, will also have privilege in death, mm-hmm. right? Because the whole point was, like, you know, if your family doesn't set up an altar for you, like, you're not allowed into this, like, heaven-like place, right? So not only did it bring up that thing, but also the fact that, like, as LGBT Latinxes and Chicanxes, right, like, our families are going to throw us away, like, a lot of the times, right? And so, so in death, right, a lot of us can't rely on this privilege that our family is going to set up an altar for mm-hmm. us, right? And so where are we in this like, narrative, right? And so those are some things that I've read about that specific issue.
Definitely. I hadn't read anything of that, but that I feel that. I also, like, there was, like, this one scene where I think it was, I was sorry, I was looking at the cast on my phone. When there's, like, this one character who actually does, die, because he doesn't, like, the one that, like, actually dies and, like, passes on because his family, like, forgot him. Like, that was really sad, but also, you know, like, the fact that Hector, the character, kept trying to cross to actually try to get his family to remember him, and also, like, the whole, like, trying to get there before she passes away. And so I always see also a lot of stories of undocumented folks who, like, a lot of the times they can't go back to their country to see their grandmas, their moms, or their family members, and those family members do end up passing away, and they have no way of going back because they're undocumented. So I think that all of that is very, it could be and is, and I'm sure it is, traumatizing for a lot of folks, right?
Yeah, definitely. Another thing that somebody brought up too was like how in a movie that was based on traditions that, you know, were, are, that come from and practiced by a lot of indigenous people, right? There was no mention of, like, indigenous mm-hmm. people, right? It was, the essay that, one of the essays that I read was, like, looking at mestizaje through coco and how, like, we perpetuate, like, nationalism and by proxy, like, anti-indigeneity, mm-hmm. right? Because it made it seem, and of course not saying that, like, folks who only identify as Mexican, like, don't celebrate Dia de los Muertos, but it's also telling that we didn't acknowledge, like, the root in a movie that was based on this entire holiday, because the original name for the movie was actually just, like, Dia de los Muertos! Exclamation point. And it wasn't until they got backlash on Disney and Pixar for trying to trademark mm-hmm. A holiday mm-hmm. that they changed the name, right? And so that was really, that's something else that I didn't catch, that someone else, and then somebody who was indigenous from Mexico made me see, right, that they, in the land that we now call Mexico, made me see. And it's real, right? And it's also, like, all, it was all, like, you know, mestizos and, like, light-skinned brown people on TV. And it's like, yes, we have representation, but again, who is represented, right? And I know that Miguel did, like, the English theme song, right? So we had an Afro-Latino who contributed to this, mm-hmm. right? But it also brings up the thing of, like, okay, yeah, Afro-Latinxes can contribute to the culture, but they can't be seen, right? We can't have, like, a Black Mexican, a Black Indigenous person, or like, a non-Black Indigenous person on screen, mm-hmm. right? So that was something else that folks brought up about the film.
Yeah, and those are all very good critiques. And I also, like, every time there's, like, because, like, I haven't really talked about that, like, on Twitter, really, or, like, even on Chicanismo, but I have seen, like, some tweets about it, or people having conversations about it, and it's always, like, people that are mad when you point these things out, when you're just trying to have a conversation about critiques and, yeah. like, thinking about things that you didn't catch, and, like, a lot of the things you're saying, like, I didn't even think about, right? And that's, like, the cool thing of having these conversations and these dialogues, but a lot of people feel automatically attacked. Like, they're like, well, I fucking enjoyed it, and how fucking dare you, like, take this away from my mother who also enjoyed it? And I'm just like, yo, like, I enjoyed it too. Like, I just, like, I thought it was beautiful. Yeah. Like, I cried. I love it. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to be like, how fucking dare you point this shit out? Like, you can accept those critiques and, like, accept that they're valid and also enjoy those things, and they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah. And I feel like everyone just acts like, you know, like, we can't talk about these things. And it's also, like, the, because of the representation, because people are like, well, it's representation, and, like, now you're like demanding representation, and now that we have it, you're, like, complaining about it. And it's like, no, like, that's not how it works, right? And I think for some people who aren't conscious of these things, or political, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, and they do see themselves in these movies for once, and they don't think about all of these things, right? And that's not necessarily their fault. They probably never even thought about, like, wow, I've never seen my culture, like, people or characters that are brown like me, now that I think about it, right? Like, they've never thought about that. But it's also important to keep having, like, these dialogues. Like, we can't just be like, oh, cool, like, it was, like, Dia de los Muertos, and I fuck with that, and, like, that's it. And now I'm just gonna wait 10 more years for Pixar to do some other shit. Like, like, no, that's not, no.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
But it's also, and I also hate, like, the, it's also, like, this, I saw this narrative of a lot of, like, we all have to go support this film, because if not, Pixar is never mm-hmm. gonna make a film like this for quote-unquote us again. And it's like, do you really think that Hollywood doesn't know that they're going to make money off of, like, make... They know that. They know that if they make a movie with non-white characters, like, that they're going to make money. Because that's what we all want. Like, that's what our children want. That's what we want our children to see, yeah. Right? So they know they're going to make money. They just choose not to do it. Like, they want to be like, let's make 5 fucking Frozen movies. And then, oh, here's a fucking Coco movie. Let's continue to make 5 yeah. more white movies. And then, oh, here, we'll throw you a movie with the black character. Like, they... Like, it's, like, intentional. It's not because we're not showing yeah. up to support the movie. So.
Yeah. And I think, and it's not even, like, an opinion, right? It's not, like, you being, like, out of base. It's actually, like, factual, mm-hmm. right? Like, so, in case you didn't know, like, Latinxes make up, like, at least something like 40% of, like, the revenue when it comes to, like, theaters, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, that's a huge number, right? And they know that there's a market. It's just that they want to be gatekeepers and they want to control who gets to see themselves, right? Who gets to be empowered, right? And I understand that, like, for a lot of us, right, we feel empowered by seeing ourselves, and that's cool, and we're not, like, shitting on that at all, right? But I think that a healthy part of, like, engaging media is critiquing it, right? Mm-hmm. So we had this representation. It was, you know, very well done. But how can we make it better? How can we ensure that the next wave is, you know, more inclusive, yes. that it represents more of us, that it isn't just, you know, playing into Mexican hegemony again, right? How do we do that? And it's by critique, mm-hmm. right? If people think that this was fine and dandy and, like, gold standard and nothing, you know, was left to critique, then we would just keep seeing the same shit over and over again, right? And so this is us wanting to fine-tune things, right? And the thing about media, too, is that, like, we don't want to pretend that, like, oh, we are so critical, right? We are so much better than you. Like, it isn't about that, right? Like, because media consumption doesn't, like, indicate, like, you know, consciousness, right? Just because we are critical of, like, this media doesn't mean we're, like, not problematic, right? Because ultimately, all media is problematic, right? And so it's just, like, how can we engage it in a way that that is... you know, not only critical, but also, like, helps us progress, right?
Yes, and if you are one of those people that are like, I saw nothing wrong with that movie, or, like, didn't think about any of these things, it's not necessarily because you're, like, you know, like, oh, I didn't think of that, so I'm, like, a problematic or a terrible person. It's yeah. just, like, that is why we need to have these conversations, but it's yeah. also, like, because of your experience is not the same as somebody else's or your privilege. So, of course, someone that's, like, less, like, privileged than you is going to see something and be like, hey, that's fucked up, or hey, I wasn't included in that, or, like, this mm-hmm. shitted on my experience. And, like, that's because you are coming from, like, a privileged perspective. And so you should listen to other people that didn't see themselves included in that film, right? Because a lot of people that are like, yeah. I loved it, are, like, Mexicans. Right? They're, like, probably straight. They're cis. They're, you know, a lot of things that, like, LGBTQ Latinx are like, where are we? Like, everything. You know what I mean? So it's, like, also, like, ask yourself why you're perfectly okay with that film, and that why these critiques are, like, you're, like, bothered yeah. by them instead of, like, being open to the dialogue and accepting it and, like, learning about it, so...
Yeah, and, like, you know, we didn't see, like, for example, like, the undocumented narrative until folks brought it up to us. And so, like, you know, we're not perfect, mm. right? Definitely not Cassandra, me a little bit. Aquarius says. Wow! No, but that reminds me, like I mentioned, that, like, the movie was originally titled Dia de los Muertos! Exclamation mm-hmm. point, right? And it wasn't until... some folks, like, pushed back, and then Lalo Alcaraz was, like, a big voice around, like, you can't trademark our holiday, right? And so Disney decided to bring Lalo Alcaraz into the picture as their cultural consultant, right? And one thing that reminds me about this whole thing is that, like, essentially, like, this movie is going to be used to sell us our culture back to us, right? And so I, like, made a thread about, like, how essentially, like, I want to encourage folks to to buy bootleg Coco swag, right? Because otherwise we're giving Disney our fucking money for this fucking movie, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, so then, and also ultimately, it was like, so their original intention with Coco was like, we're gonna like trademark this holiday so we can get in the market of like, of Dia de los Muertos, right? And because this movie was such a success, they can still do that, right? And so instead of letting like Disney profit off our like of Dia de los Muertos, right, and our culture, like why not just support your local like bootlegger or your street vendor who's gonna be making these items, right? Or like your indie creator, right? And I know that's like copyright infringement, but whatever.
Steal from the hypocrite. We're gonna get an email after this episode. They're like, we're gonna shut your shit down, get the fuck out of here. They like sue us. We're like, yes, please download this movie legally and buy all the bootleg. I didn't do that. Ruben did. It was so just, I went to the movies. I went to the movies and I was a good citizen and I obeyed the law and I paid for it.
Wow. The Chicanexes of El Paso are really law abiding.
Yes, respectability all the way for me. No, but for real, love going to the movies. I really do. I hate, like, there's never really any excited movies I want to see. So when there is a movie that I'm down to see, I'll go. Because yeah. I love eating popcorn and jalapenos movies. And that's my shit. And watching the previews. But sometimes they suck. But anyway.
My shit is going to the movies and putting M&Ms in my popcorn.
I do that at home. And not at the movies, though. Because unless you take your own M&Ms.
No, that's expensive. Yeah, it is expensive. But I hardly ever go. So, like, I don't mean to be a fucking snob, but... The movies that I get really excited about are, like, indie movies, mm-hmm. right? That, like, are not big, that are not going to be... Or they hardly ever go to Netflix or whatever, so... Or that are, like, international releases, right? So...
Such an intellectual trademark.
I'm an Aquarius,
too. Yeah, so I...
You know how
exactly.
It is. So the last two movies that I saw in the theater, and this is actually like a lot for me, which is like in the last month, I went to go see the Pokemon movie, because that was a limited international release, and The Shape of Water, directed by Guillermo del Toro. They were both excellent films, and I got a free Pokemon card out of this.
Wow. Love it.
Yeah, so I don't really like going to the theaters, right? It's just like... Too many people. Yeah. And for indie films, it's like it's hardly anyone there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sit next to strangers. Like, I don't have to be in like in a confined space in the dark.
You could sneak your. I don't know. Beer if you really think about. No one will know.
What? Wow! I don't drink beer in public. Wow.
Okay.
Where I'm not supposed to. Although there are some schmancy theaters that let you drink alcohol.
Yeah, but it's expensive, and I'm. You know, have limited resources, so I have to sneak in my own food and my own beer, my own coffee. I sneak everything in. I don't care. Not the popcorn, though. I buy the popcorn there, but everything else, I sneak it in.
I'm not really slick like that. No. Anyway. So one of the things we were talking about, too, is that, like, Lalo Alcaraz was a cultural consultant for Coco, right? And if you're not familiar with Lalo Alcaraz, he's, like, the cartoonist behind, like, one of the longest-running, like, Chicanx comic strips in mainstream newspapers, and that's, like, La Cucaracha, right? He's also behind such things as, like, Seth MacFarlane's Latinx vehicle, right? What was the name
Border
of that?
Border Town.
Border Town, yes. So Lalo Alcaraz was behind that. And so, so Lalo Alcaraz was in charge of this. And to me, you know, the reason that I didn't go see it in theaters is that like I didn't want him to like make any money off of that, right? Like, I know he was going to get like hecka rich off of it. So like, but I like on principle, like I didn't want to give him my money, right? Just because he has such a history of like queer and trans antagonism, right? Just recently, he made yet another cartoon mocking gender inclusive language, right? And, like, I say yet another because this is, like, a pattern. This isn't new for Lalo. This has been going on for ages. This is what he's about. And he calls him and Gustavo Arellano, another Chicano, they, like, mock folks who, LGBT folks, as armchair Aztecs, right? For, like, calling them out on their bullshit. And they egg on their followers and to be, like, queer and trans antagonists, right? And dismiss us as SJWs, right? When we're calling out their, like, real BS. But because they have, like, such an audience of, like, older, like, cishet, you know, machistas, right? They don't give a fuck. And also because TBH, unless there's, like, a concentrated effort, like, these dudes are not going to lose a fucking dime. And so that's another reason why I didn't go see this in the theater, right?
Yeah, and I heard, I think, after... Because I, like I said, I knew this movie was being made. I just, like, stopped following it because I feel like they announced it, like, a few years ago, I want to say. Or, like, at least 2 years back. So I was, like, when they were trying to trademark it. And I just, like, I don't know. I just, like, stopped following it. And then that's why when I was like, oh, the movie's out already. Like, I should go see it. I did. But us, yeah. Then all the critiques came, and I did see that, too, about Lalo. How do you say his last name? Alcaraz? 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 Whatever the fuck. Alcaraz. Every time I see just his stupid face on Twitter, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, because he is just, him and Gustavo Arellano, they are, it's not, like, some new behavior, and they're, like, I'm surprised by how many people still follow them, yeah. But not surprised at the same time, right? Because it's, like, that's what fucking Aztlan Chicanexes do. And, like, I think at one point back when I first started discovering Chicano politics, like, a couple years ago on Twitter, I did follow him. I didn't necessarily know who he was, but I knew that he was, like, someone important, like, he was a writer, a comic writer, like, somebody, right? And I used to follow him, and he followed me, but then at one point, we, like, ended up talking shit to each other, not just me and him, but me and some other people on Twitter because of that. He says a lot of, like, inane stuff, so, like, I don't really remember what was said. I just remember, like, I was like, get the fuck out of here. We were arguing, and then he said that Aztec armchair comment. And so then I just, yeah, like, unfollowed him. It's just, like, every time I see Gustavo Arellano's fucking name or Lalo's, I'm just like, what the fuck did they say now? Right? And there's even a fucking hashtag that's, like, boycott Gustavo Arellano. And you can search that on Twitter. And so you can get, if you weren't aware, you can actually go on that hashtag and
catch up.
catch up on his anti-black shit, his homophobic, transphobic. I think he also was talking shit about Central Americans.
Yep.
Just that's how, a lot. That's how it started, right? Yeah. Most the tag, yeah. So just, he's just, oh, also, I have to bring this up because it was, like, the worst. Earlier this year, I posted this on Chicanisma, but let me bring it up. I saw this article. The title is, "Let White People Appropriate Mexican Food. Mexicans Do It to Ourselves All the Time." Right when I saw that fucking headline, I was like, Gustavo Arellano wrote this. Like, I didn't even have to look to look at the name. I already knew he wrote it, and it's just as bad as the title. But if you want to Google it, Google that title, then it'll come up. But pretty much, I can't, like, I just...
Yeah.
This is the kind of shit that they write, and this is the kind of shit that people eat up because their whole narrative is, like, PC culture, we have to be politically correct, and why do we have to use the X, and, like, woke, ha ha ha, you know? And it's just like, it's just like, it's not even worth, I feel, commenting on, because, like, a lot of people have called them out on their shit, and they refuse to listen, and they refuse to acknowledge it or do better, and they have a big following. And that's also why they're not going to change, because a lot of people, like, don't care.
Yep. And, like, that's the thing about, like, Coco, is that, like, now they have an even, like, they have a new big following, right? And so...
Gustavo Arellano part of Coco, or was it just
Lalo? No, it was just Lalo, okay. But they're both, like, really tied, right?
Mm-hmm, they're both. They're like, they do a lot of projects together.
Yeah, and they're also like president and vice president of like the Chicano, you know, bigoted club.
Okay, let me stop. Bitch! So, it's because I was also pulling up just articles. Like I said, you can just tweet or just. You can find all, like, just Google, like, their names, and you'll see all of the shit they say. But there's another one. When they did the border town, I think that's also another time I was arguing with them on Twitter. Because a lot of people were like, why would you even agree to be a part of the show, right? Yeah. Like, at all. Because I think their narrative was like, oh, they reached out to us to be a part of this cartoon that's about Latinx. So, like, all of a sudden, just because they reached out to us and we're also Latinx, like, that makes it... good. Like, inclusive and good and fine, regardless of the actual content, right? And so there was, there's, like, this other article that I'm reading. It's, like, Lalo Alcaraz warns the sensitive to avoid his new show, Border Town. And then, like, he's quoted saying, he also warns that anyone who's, quote-unquote, very sensitive about comedic representations of Latinos might not want to tune in. So that's, like, pretty much saying, like, this shit ain't shit, so please don't tune in and call my shit out. Just don't watch it.
Essentially,
this is only for the older Chicanos who don't care.
Yeah, and it's, like, you can be funny about, like, Latinx and Chicanx shit without being an absolute piece of shit, right? But their show wasn't that, right? And, like, their whole history isn't that. You bring up the fact that, like, Gustavo Arellano wrote that essay about getting appropriate, like, don't fight gringos for appropriating Mexican food. And I saw the headline, I just read the fucking title, I knew that it was gonna give me a fucking kidney stone for reading the whole essay, but I did it anyway. And I'm just like, because I was like, maybe there's some fucking saving grace to this, but there wasn't, right? And then I remembered that, like, of course, Gustavo would write this shit. Because, like, he let his wife dress up as Frida Kahlo for their wedding, right?
I want to get away. I want to hang up this call.
Yeah. And so, of course, somebody who, like, lets their white wife do that, you know, probably wrote the essay to, like, ease her, you know, her fears. When she made enchiladas and they were hella dry or whatever, right? And so, like, that's just the kind of folks they are. And, the hashtag existed because they were bullying Central Americans and calling them, xenophobic slurs. And it was Daniel Alvarenga and a couple other folks who... you know, who pushed that hashtag to basically boycott, you know, Lalo Alcaraz, Gustavo Arellano, and Chicanos like them, right? Because we really need to stop fucking putting these people on a pedestal just because of representation, TM, right? Something that I recently wrote on Twitter was, like, for folks who are still, like, associating with Lalo Alcaraz and Gustavo Arellano, right, because of their media connections, like, is it worth it throwing LGBT Latinxes and Chicanxes under the bus for these media connections, right? Because that's ultimately what you're doing. You're condoning their behavior, right? And it isn't just them. It's all their followers that they, like, encourage to, like, mock Latinxes and Chicanxes, right? For example, recently, yes. Gustavo Arellano shared an article about how, like, we should stop using Latinx and Chicanx. Right? And the X, to stop imposing, like, these Anglo-Saxon, mindsets on, like, the Spanish language. And, like, you know, never mind that, like, Spanish is already, like, a colonizer language, right? But nobody's fucking imposing this fucking idea on you, right? Nobody's saying, like, you have to identify as Latinx and Chicanx. It's just, like, you know, non-binary and trans Latinxes and Chicanxes have, you know, pushed for this word to, you know, show, to make space for themselves, right, in the community, right, and as allies and like as, you know, folks should be listening to non-binary folks and chicken, you know, trans folks who want to be included in the community, right? Because so often, like, we're pushed to the side, right? Like, we are ostracized. And so Gustavo Arellano shared this article, right, which is in the same vein as we mentioned earlier. Lalo Alcaraz makes anti, you know, the anti-Latinx, Chicanx cartoons all the time against that term. And so when people called him out, he just started mocking all of the LGBT folks and started calling us Aztec armchair Aztecs, which I'm like...
I mean, for artists, they're pretty corny. I think of, like, artists and, like, being creative, I'm like, that's why I think you're creative and original and you're funny. And they're not. They're fucking corny as fuck. But also, one thing I wanted to add to all of that is, so they have a history of, like, anti-blackness, of being homophobic, transphobic, like, all of these things, but I feel like it's, like, for the people that are, like, wow, how do I explain it? Because when I shared that article about Gustavo Arellano and, like, the cultural appropriation, like, a lot of people were like, what the fuck, what is this? They're upset.
Yeah.
But it took him writing about, saying some whack shit about cultural appropriation for people to be like, oh, he's a piece of shit, instead of, like, the times that the LGBTQ folks have, like, said, he ain't shit. Or black people have said, he ain't shit. Like, listen when, like, people say that they're trash instead of waiting until something actually pertains to you and offends you, right? Because that I see that narrative a lot. So, I mean, at this point, if you're still fucking with them, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, someone tagged Lalo Alcaraz, like, in one of my posts on Chicanisma, and I was like, block. He commented on it. I was like, no, not here. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, that's real, right? If you only get mad when it's about, like, they're encouraging stealing our culture, right? Please remember that, like...
But it's totally cool to shit on other people. That's not
me. Yeah, like, remember that, like, LGBT folks and, like, and or, you know, black folks are also part of our fucking community, so, like... And even if they weren't, like, we shouldn't be allowing them to, like, shit on other people who don't share all of our identities just because, you know, this person is part of our community, right? Like, hold our people accountable. Do better. Right.
Do better. That's a new segment we should start.
Yes, do better.
Yeah,
So...
I'm sorry, Ruben. I'm like, I look so cute right now.
Are you taking selfies? Yeah. I thought you were taking pictures of me. And so I was like looking really good right here. Wow, fake, falsa. No, but you do look good, bitch.
I know.
You know who doesn't look good?
Who?
White people.
All of them. All the time.
No, it's just been a really It's just been a really bad week for white people. Like,
when isn't it a bad week for white people? It's okay to be white. Hashtag. It's okay to be white. It's
you know.
Is it though?
It's, you know, white people, you do you. I got mad love for you. You know, if it wasn't for white people, you know, they gave us, like, you know, great things like Britney Spears, right? But also, like, today in white people, is that little Keaton kid, right? The little, you know, little gringuito that was crying on film and that fucking, his parents raised $55,000 for his little white ass because he was bullied in school, right? But then it came out later that he was saying the N-word to kids.
Sorry to interrupt you, but to be honest, I don't know the accuracy of that. I'm not saying that it's not true or that it couldn't. It doesn't even matter. Like, I feel like I saw that they were like, oh, well, he was actually saying the N-word, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, I need proof.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, even without that context, when I saw it, I was like, I saw the video, and I'm a mother, so, like, I have a very thing for, like, bullying and, like, anything that affects children, but when I saw it, I was not moved, and I was like...
White tears don't move you?
I really wasn't, and it's not like to say, oh, no white children. I don't care about any fucking white children. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I was just like, and then I felt like the mom was just like
exploiting her child.
Yeah, and I was just like, sometimes I'm like, it's like, I understand some parents who like want to share their children's like
their children's trauma,
raise awareness, not trauma, but like if like sometimes I've seen like videos of like, for example, like a black parent who is like videotaping their daughter saying, like, I don't know, like a very specific context, but when it's, first of all, when it's white people, I'm like side eye all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm also, yeah, like, why? Like, if your kid just like got in the car and is like crying his heart out to you because he's like just got fucking bullied, like, why the like
maybe pay like attention.
You would like try to like be like talk to him and be affectionate. Then afterwards, if you want to make a video about bullying when he's like in his senses and he wants to talk about that, like, he can talk about that, right? But I was just still like, okay. Also, because I just feel like I see a lot of stories of child, not just like child abuse, but also like of bullying pertaining to children of color that I don't ever see being shared. Or like, it's like, well, it's a lot of things, right? Like, I feel like children of color are expected to be quote-unquote like strong and also like mature, or expected to be mature or treated as adults and not seen as children. So if children of color are like, if there's a video of like a black or brown kid like crying like that, I feel like a lot of like that, it wouldn't have gotten that much attention, I feel.
And there's like been countless, you know, black and brown kids who have been bullied, who have experienced racism, right? And they haven't gained the same amount of like sympathy, right? And like a part of that is that we don't see black and brown children as children, right? As soon as they hit a certain age, right, fucking toddler age, like, people see them as delinquents, right? Because we've been conditioned to see whiteness as like this innocent thing, and everything else
until they're like 20 years old and shit.
And like,
I've seen articles where it's like 20-year-old men doing some shit and it still refers to them as like teen
or children
or whatever. But then like when we have like Trayvon Martin and Tamir Rice, it's like, oh, I was so scared because they, or Mike Brown, because they're like, I thought they were like an adult, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like that narrative. But also I wanted to add something about bullying that I've always thought about is how to, because bullying is a big thing, and I feel like it's a bigger thing. That's not to say that bullying all of a sudden, like, happened. Like, it's always happened. But I think this generation of children have access to the internet, and I think that does add, you know, cyberbullying and being able to see what people are saying about you, yeah, and, like, harassment in a whole different context that maybe, yep, we didn't experience. But I feel like when we talk about bullying, as parents or as educators, or if you have cousins or nieces, right, I feel like people need to get to the bottom of bullying, because I think that there's, like, instead, a lot of people write off, like, racism, homophobia, sexism, ableism as bullying instead of addressing it as what it is, right? So if there is actual racism happening, then those children, we need to talk about racism with children. We need to talk about homophobia, about slut shaming, about, like, the root of what is causing the quote-unquote bullying.
Yeah.
Because if we're just, like, oh, this person's being, like, if there's an, you know, something happening, like, if someone was saying racist things to my child, I wouldn't want his teacher to say, oh, he's being bullied. I want you to say, no, like, what is this kid saying? It's racist, right? I don't want you to just say, like, it's bullying, because I feel like there are instances of bullying where, like, a kid is just being mean to you, not necessarily because you're black or because you're fat or because of a specific thing, right? Sometimes kids are just mean. Right?
Yeah.
And I, like, obviously that needs to be addressed too, but if it is because of racism or sexism or homophobia, then it needs to be addressed as that, because I think that would solve a lot of those problems, right? Because I think also with children, we're like, they don't understand what racism is, they don't understand what homophobia is, even though they're out here, like, they're out here perpetuating it. I still don't think they're, like, old enough to understand what it is, right? So, that's just something that has always bothered me around,
yeah,
conversations of bullying.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think a part of it is that people don't think that children can handle certain topics, right? Like kids can definitely understand, right? Like, racism and homophobia, transphobia, right? Because some of them, like, live these things, right? So
we can definitely explain to them, right, that the bullying that they are experiencing is like is a reflection of these things, right? Is a byproduct, right? Or that they're experienced with they're a combination of things, right? They're being bullied because they're girls. They're being bullied because they're black or brown, you know, or Asian, or, you know, a combination of these things, right? Or LGBT, right? So not only like the bullied, but the parents of the bully have a responsibility, right, to teach them about like these systems of oppression that they're facing, right? And so my thing about, you're right, like, I guess in the case of this Keaton kid, like, what they could have done is, like, maybe, like, if, you know, they were fully being bullied, right, they should have, you know, recorded that, you know, once a kid wasn't having a fucking breakdown, right? And so, I don't know, to me, it was just, like, exploiting your child's pain, but also exploiting, like, or, like, taking advantage of whiteness, right, and the way that people see it as, like, something that needs saving. All right, and so with that, we can talk about the holiday that's coming up, right?
What holiday is that?
It's Mariah Carey Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that is right.
Oh, Noche Buena, or whatever.
Mariah Christ. It's her day. It is her birthday.
It is her birthday. She grows stronger in the month of December. You know she makes $500,000 every Christmas?
Yeah. You know what? I always remember...
Because of the song?
You know how, like, her and Nicki Minaj would always, like, feud on, like, American Idol? I always remember this one episode where, you know, Nicki Minaj would always try to throw shade at Mariah, and there was this guy who... I think he's saying All I Want for Christmas, right? I don't That would be me. I'm like, I'm going to sing All I Want for Christmas. He's saying All I Want for Christmas. And so Mariah Carey was really excited. You know, she was like, yeah, you know, he's going to sing my song. And I forgot when Nicki Minaj, like, made some comment about it. Like, that it's, like, an old song. Or she said something like, oh, like, that song's, you know, because it's been around for a while. And Mariah is like, that's right, number one single every year. Or, like, she made some comment like that. And so every time it's December, I'm like, Mariah is, like, number one on the charts right now. Every year. For the rest of her life.
Imagine being that powerful. Wow.
Wow. What a festive hoe. I love it.
I love her. I love her power.
I feel like we have this conversation every time we record. We're like, she's just so powerful. And right. Amazing.
The fact yes, the fact that she's charging her ex an inconvenience fee of what is it, $5 million, and that it's actually happening. Like, yes. That is aspirational, bitch. I wanna charge my exes that fucking inconvenience fee.
I wanna, like, charge any man who looks my direction that inconvenience. Like, you breathe in my direction, like, you owe me so many. I'm about to call every man I've ever interacted with up. those are the goals. The goals. She set the goals in motion for 2018.
TBH,
don't take men's shit. Just don't. Not worth our time. They owe us money.
They do.
They owe us money.
Right. Equity.
Equity.
Yeah. And so people are always talking shit about how, like, they hate Christmas music, but I love Christmas music. And I can listen to All I Want for Christmas Is You, like, every fucking day, like, TBH.
Me too. So what other, what is, like, your other Christmas music that you listen to, aside from Mariah?
So I know this is, like, sacrilegious, but I, like, just discovered Ariana Grande's Christmas and Chill album. And it's, like, a really good Christmas album. I love, like, punk classics, like, Oi to the World. And Christmas Rapping by the Waitresses. I just love a lot of all of Michael Bublé's, like, Christmas music, Eartha Kitt's singles. I just really love it. And, like, I'm not even religious.
Right? I love Christmas music, too. And I love, right now, I'm listening a lot to Carla Morrison's Christmas album, which is called La Niña del Tambor.
I did not know she had a Christmas album.
I'm just like, sad girl Christmas shit. Love it.
TBH, I've never gotten into her. Like, it just seems, like, very involved. It just seems like, how many albums does she have? Like
two.
Three? No. That's a lot, see? Like
But one of them was just, like, Amor, Okay, let's not do this right now. But Carla Morris, I love her, and I saw her live, and she made me cry, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. But aside from Carla Morrison, I also listen. I love Brenda Lee. I love Brenda Lee's voice. You know, she sings "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree."
Oh, shut the fuck up!
I mean, she doesn't just sing Christmas songs, but I'm saying like, so Brenda Lee's like was a country singer, but she does like this I don't know how to explain it. Like the, like a hiccup. Like
rocking around the Christmas.
No, like the okay, next thing? I want everyone to listen to like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and actually like listen to Brenda Lee's voice, because she does like this hiccup thing. I don't explain it. And it's like, I can just listen to Brenda Lee's. I just love her voice.
But that reminds me, like, what are like some like Christmas shit that you do? Like, what does this holiday mean to you?
Oh, okay. Is this frozen right now? Let's see.
What do you mean?
The tradition. Oh, you trying to steal Olaf? Olaf's listening to this shit, trying to steal my tradition.
I thought
right
his
now.
Name was Olaf. I thought it was like British or something.
Isn't it? Isn't that what I said? Yeah. Olaf, like a loofah. That reminds me of loofahs, but white people don't know what that is. Okay, let me stop. All right, tradition. I don't.
Olaf.
It's Olaf. Right? It doesn't matter. Anyway, the
Wait,
fucking
hold up, moment. Hold up. Update. Gustavo Arellano just blocked me on Twitter.
Wow. Okay. all of our listeners got to join in that moment with us. Let's document that Gustavo Arellano just blocked Ruben on Twitter for calling this shit out.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's see. Tradition. You know what? To be honest, like growing up, just like Halloween, it's weird because my mom thinks, you know, Halloween is a devil, but you would think that she would be all into Christmas because she loves Jesus. But it was also like very limited, like Santa Claus was a devil too, and you know, because it was just like focused on Jesus' birthday. Like, it's not about Santa Claus or Rudolph or the lights or the Christmas tree. It's about just praising Jesus on his birthday.
Just fucking, you're gonna fucking praise Jesus right the fuck now, you fucking heathen.
Yes, exactly. So my Christmas experiences were always with my grandma, with my dad's mom. Like, my grandparents would do the Christmas tree. Like, they would invite us over on Christmas Day. They would buy everyone Christmas presents. My mom never really bought us Christmas presents, or we never really had a tree, so we never, it's just, I guess my life, my childhood was just, like, not big on Halloween or Christmas or anything. But again, now that I am a parent, I do try to, like, have a Christmas tree up for Luca, and I don't know, I guess, you know what? I guess white supremacy was right when they put Frozen in my path, and I have to make my own traditions.
Aww.
Thanks, Frozen.
Yeah. So what are you creating for your child?
Nothing. That's why I'm saying, like, that's why that movie was for me, that short film. No, I don't know. Like, I don't really have, and I don't know. It just always feels lonely because, like, I don't have a big family. So, like, my son, his dad has a big family, and so he gets to experience those big family things, like holidays and parties, with his dad's family. But with me, it's just, like, me and, like, my mom, for example. Like, I don't have, like, this extended family, so it's kind of boring, I feel. Like, if anything, this Christmas we'll probably spend just, like, me and him. I don't know, just, we'll make a tradition. We'll figure it out.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no, for us too, for a minute, it was like Santa Claus is the devil, right? And yeah. So, like, but yeah, no, so Santa Claus used to be the devil, and the church also really made us feel really bad about giving presents, right? So they were like, instead of giving presents, give to us. So, you know, give to Jesus. So my family was like still very Christmassy. Like, we like let it die for a minute just because we, like, in my like 18 to 20s, early 20s, we stopped being Christmassy just because we were all, like, in our own worlds, right? Didn't talk to them for a minute. But now, like, that we're all much older, like, we're just, like, family. And, like, so I'm, like, actually really excited to go see them. And we exchange gifts and, like, drink and talk shit. So that's really great. So, yeah, I really like the holidays, actually, even though I'm a bitter bitch. Like, the holidays, I love the decorations. And I love, like, how everyone feels like they, like, like they have to get somebody something, and it's like really like a selfless time, I think, for some people. And I think it's one of the only times we see that selflessness.
You know what? I do have. I'm sorry. I always cut you off because I'm like rude bitch. You're
fucking Sagittarius.
Yes. Like I said, rude bitch. AKA Sagittarius. I do have a Christmas tradition myself. Of myself, not with my child yet, but myself is, I don't know, because I love the holidays too, and I like the decoration. Like, I just like the warmth. I feel like it feels warm, and you're, like, jolly. You're, like, a jolly bitch. I don't know, at least I am, or try to be. But also, around the holidays, around the holidays, I listen to Deftones a lot. I don't know what that says about me, but that makes me feel warm and happy inside.
I listen to, like, jazz and Mariah Carey.
Yeah. No, yeah, the Christmas music.
And Amy Winehouse. I listen to, like, jazzy, bluesy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And mariachi. I really love Christmas mariachi. Okay. So, now that we talked about our, like, customs and shit, we should probably pick a song for this episode, right? So, what do we want to leave our listeners with this time around?
Well, we are going to leave them with a very special song because it incorporates two of our favorites, right? Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is like the number one Christmas song ever in the world forever.
In the world. Ever, yes.
Ever. Made. Ever.
Yep. When aliens come, they're just going to listen to that shit on loop.
Yes, they are. But this is a special version of All I Want for Christmas by Mariah. It's a cover by My Chemical Romance.
Mi Chemical Romance.
So, that's what it is. That's where we're at.
Emo Christmas.
This bitch.
So, that concludes this episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. Thank you for joining us. I hope y'all had a good time. I hope y'all tell everybody about it and follow us on all social media. Twitter, Bitter B Femmes. Instagram, Bitter Brown Femmes. And we don't have a Facebook because Facebook sucks balls. So,
Yeah, true. I'm always getting banned on there. So, enjoy the holidays, and we'll see you next time on Bitter Brown Femmes.
All right. Bye.
There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true, baby. All I want for Christmas is you. Way above
wanna see my baby standing right out.